ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 16. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Gentiles, you see the connected now. Bigger picture, 30,000 foot. It's been Jews and Gentiles been having a problem in Rome. So I'm going to teach you about the gospel. I'm going to teach you you're dead to sin. I'm going to teach you you're freed from sin. I'm going to teach you you're a new creation. I'm going to teach you you're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. What does Christ want? Well, the prophets told you what he wanted. He wanted the gospel to get to all the world. This is the thread of the whole book. He wants you guys to get along. Knock off being stupid on your end of things and dismissing other people. He says, listen, this is what it's all about. And so when you see him talking about Priscilla and Aquila next, you've seen that things are changing. They're going to need grace for service. And one of the things they're going to have to do is figure out how to be male and female. Because the Bible says in Christ there is neither male nor female. But in the world there is. Okay? So we need to wake up. And as soon as you wake up in Christ, what do? You look around and say something different, as I said. And when you go back and drill into it, if you're a female reading the Bible, you're going to say, well, the Bible says I'm made as a helpmeet. And that's going to be new. There was a gal who came to our church some time ago, and she came for a season. She got saved. I got to lead her to the Lord down in Columbus. When I led her to the Lord, she got a real dose of Jesus. Next thing you know, she's moving out of her old dormitory, went to a dormitory where there was a bunch of domesticated girls, and she became a girly girl, and she began to enjoy being a girl. It was beautiful to see, because she was a young gal. And my point is that this is the beauty of Christ. He can give us the permission to like and love what we really deep down like and love and long for. So don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. Romans 12. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? That's what it's all about. And so when he talks about Aquila and Priscilla, I've told you a couple things. They're friends. They're in the same trade. And they're thanked by all the churches among the Gentiles because they've been bumped around as Jews are. And look what it says then in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, why was Priscilla mentioned first? Well, if I'm a wannabe panderer and I want to make everybody feel wonderful about whatever view they have and not be clear on anything, then I'll just say it's because she's smarter than Aquila. Yeah, some people think that. They say, well, she's the leader in this group here. She's the leader of the couple, but that's not it. If you're having church in your house, who's going to do that? Honey, can you take that out? Can you move that? Yes, yes. The wife is conducting church to get ready for church because the man's like, hey, just throw out some chairs. Some people can sit on the floor. I don't care. Woman's thinking, I got to make some refreshments. I got to make sure they're comfortable. I got to make sure. And what's that? Service. That's service. That's encouragement. That's underpinning. Like when Jesus came to Lazarus' house, Martha and Mary are serving. And what you're seeing is he's showing us that there were a lot of house churches out there that were not just made up of Jews and Gentiles, but also that really gave dignity to the women who were able to support the ministry just like those women did in Jesus' entourage. They were there. Certain women, among whom were Mary Magdalene and many others, who served diaconia among them. Isn't that kind of neat, right? You kind of see it? This makes more sense than making an office that there's no precedent for anywhere. It makes more sense than God saying, I'm going to change everything and say, it's not like it was in Genesis. No, Genesis is the paradigm. 1 Corinthians reaffirms it in chapter 11. And you have an idea of what the headship, leadership, whatever that is. And then, what a neat thing. In 1 Peter, it says in chapter 3, husbands, love your wives, giving honor to them as unto the weaker vessel. And the idea is to give honor because they can't seize it without being seen as unseemly. You can elevate the wife as you are elevated in society. For instance, my wife basically has a platform that is given just by being a wife of a pastor. She could speak to ladies. And by the way, whenever the Bible talks about teaching ladies, it's Titus, it says it very clearly, let the older women teach the younger women. And the two major things that stick out, to be keepers at home doesn't mean to keep house. It means to be a guardian of the home. You guard home. You guard the house. You guard family. Why? Because the family is under attack from the beginning of time. When Satan went to Eve, he said, hath God surely said, And what did God bring to the charge of Adam? He didn't say, because you took of the tree. He said, because you listened to your wife. That doesn't mean that you're not supposed to listen to your wife. She's a helpmeet, like a colonel is to a general. You know, we're all officers here. But it means that he was listening to her rather than to him. Okay? He's the head of the home. He said, because you listened to your wife and you weren't listening to me, you worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And that's the danger that can happen. So you don't want to invert the paradigm. Otherwise, it gets all out of control. So right away, the devil inverted the paradigm. The man listened to his wife rather than to God, and it became a problem. Folks, listen. If you take the average church in America, or even probably across the world, but all I know particularly is in America, most women are more willing to be engaged than men. Which means that if you let it go in its own natural course, it would be the women running the church and the women doing everything, and the women being responsible and expected to do everything. Now, there are certain jobs that women can do better than men, and certain jobs that men can do better than women, but God said, let's keep it real. We've got one shot at this. We're on this ball of dirt just for a little while, and then we're home. So let's just do it God's way. I suffer not, he says very clearly, 2 Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Why? Well, it's interesting because the word for usurp means to strangle with your hands. Okay? When I preach and I bring truth, sometimes you're sitting there squirming because I'm asking you to go beyond your comfort zone. Well, when I do that, as a man to a man, we feel like, yeah, he's not wrong. Okay, you might not like it, but he's not wrong. But when a woman does it, there's already I got to resist. Not only that, but if she's an attractive woman, it's not good to have a woman up teaching and preaching because men are visually aware of women. There are so many things that make sense about the paradigm that we don't even like to say out loud, but we must. Because the reality is that if you know where you're supposed to stand, you will be at peace. If nobody told us what our job was, we wouldn't know whether we were getting it done or not. So what I'm saying is if we all stay in our lane, we'll be happier. Why? Well, God cares about women. Do you know what God's will is for women? Is that you be at peace. You say, well, God could use a little of that. Because we guys know. One of the things that makes us happier than anything is when our wives have a contentedness about what we've provided and done and so forth. And because we understand you have 15 things on your mind at the same time. And all of those things are just bugging you and you got all these windows open on your computer screen and you got to get this list, you got to get that. And we just want to get it down to just a couple things. So if you want to jump over in our lane, you're going to be much more hairy-carry. Because it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. People are going to walk out. If you're the pastor, they're going to walk out and you're going to take that harder than a man would. A man would say, oh, well, that hurt. But I just got to knuckle down and keep going. That's what happens. But women, they hurt. They feel like, what did I do? I liken it to this, and this is just a little sidebar, something I think the Lord impressed upon me a little while ago, trying to figure out the difference between women and men as far as their minds are concerned, which is, I think, baffled the sophists of the ages, all the wise men of the ages. But here's my theory. My theory is that women are like they're in a library, and they got 5 books out on the table, and they're doing 5 things at one time. And they'll say, what are you thinking about? And he'll say, nothing. And she'll say, nothing? What are you thinking about? He'll say, nothing. You say, it's not possible for you to be doing nothing. But it is possible. Because what guys can do is we can be in the same library you are. We won't even have a book open. We don't want to have a book open. We've decided we're not pulling the book down. We'll go over and we'll pull on the shelf. We'll pull the book back a little bit. No. And we can literally not open that book. Women's hearts open up to 5 books. That's why men can help women around the home with the kids or whatever. And when they had 12 kids, they had plenty to do with all those compartments. Because of birth control, there's a lot more open books that don't have anything to do with guarding the home. It's just there's so much more you can do outside the realm of the straight and the narrow things that were pretty much dictated for most of human history. I hope that's helpful. But what we're seeing is Priscilla's mentioned first tonight. My belief is, just like with Phoebe, the people who were receiving the letter and being commended, take care of her, they're being asked to understand that women have a role here, and it's an important role. And so here's an older woman who's doing business, and they need to treat her properly. Because if they've got a problem with Gentiles, then they probably have a problem with women. Do you remember the prayer they would pray? Routinely, God, I thank you that I'm not a woman, nor a slave, nor a Gentile. Okay, these are things, that was a prayer they would pray in some of their sectors. So understand that here's Phoebe. And Priscilla's mentioned first. Aquila doesn't have a problem with that because he's given honor to her. There are six times Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in the Bible, and only two of them have Priscilla mentioned first. When they take Apollos aside, remember that? Where'd they take him? To their house. Apollos was only preaching up to John's gospel, and they needed to help him. He was good, he was getting it done, but he wasn't clear about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So Aquila and Priscilla take him to their house and instruct him better. Why was he mentioned first there? Because he's the one doing the major instruction. Others have contended, no, she was the smarter one. Well, sometimes that's true. That's possible. Somebody has a wife that's smarter than they are. But if she's really smart, she'll figure out ways not to let him know it. Because he just needs to have that ability. Part of being a helper is not to make him feel insecure. But the point is that they have done all kinds of psychological tests. And do you know what they find? They find that when there is an educational gap of a woman being more educated than the man, it becomes a little bit of a hitch. It can become a speed bump in their relationship. If it's one more, like let's say he got a high school diploma and she got a bachelor's degree, that can kind of go. But if she's got a master's and he's got a high school and he's a tradesman, even if he's really good at what he does, there's something weird about it. It just makes them feel a little insecure. They've done all kinds of studies, and these are just little things you can pull from that. But that's just proving what God has already demonstrated to us in the Scriptures. And by the way, when I told you about Deborah, she said, I was a mother in Israel. That's the way she saw herself. Even though she was a prophetess, when she sang her song of victory, she said, I was a mother in Israel. And that's very important, because that's taking a position of realizing, I've got gifts and abilities, and I can encourage, and I can nurture, and I can help. And in the grand scheme of things, we're all just what? Servants of our God. And if I'm going to be a servant of God, what will He pick me for? He'll pick me for what I'm made for. And what are we made for? Well, men are made for certain things. Women are made for certain things. What if everything falls apart? Then you begin to kind of get a Deborah, and she becomes a little bit more prominent. And our role, fellas, is not to make it such that our wives have to do men's work. We just have to try to figure out how to be the men and represent in our country properly and lead our families beautifully, which is what it means. We rule well our own households, it says of the pastors. We rule well our own households if you're a deacon. It means that you rule it beautifully. Doesn't mean that you rule. It's not even an emphasis on that. It's about beauty of the testimony. The Bible says that these guys had a church in their home. So here we have her mentioned prominently. And if you go chase these down, because I'm not going to spend all my time on this, but if you chase it down, you'll find Aquila and Priscilla, whenever she's mentioned first, it's directly connected to her hosting. She's going to be hosting in the next verse or two. And that's what's happening here. And part of what we've seen, that's just a sidebar. Part of it's bringing them around to that issue without even trying. But the real thing here, and the nut of why he brings them to the fore, is verse 4, where it says, they are given thanks over by all the churches of the Gentiles. They're Jews. He's setting an example for the rest of the people he's just been writing to. The Bible says in verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. But the point here is, kinsmen, in verse 7. In verse 7, not only kinsmen, but they are my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. See the deferentialness of Paul? Wherever he can push somebody else up above him, he will do it.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.